Em, can you believe we are in our third season of Interview Boss?
Not really. It's crazy. But that means there are over 90 episodes we've made.
Oh my God. Scrolling through all of our episode titles, you might miss an episode that actually is exactly what you're looking for.
Yes, we get so many messages of people asking us to do an episode on something and we're like, we already have. So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are best suited to you. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, and job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
Yes, and we even have a playlist for if you have an interview like tomorrow and you need just our most recommended episodes, just the ones you really need between now and then.
Exactly. It is all there for you. You can browse by category. Check out the playlist at www.interviewboss.com.au/podcast.
When it comes to like, what do you do about it? Well, like nothing. Like you can't do anything about it. They're not getting back to you.
You ghost them back.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you all the advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're here to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you excel in your career.
Oh, we're excelling today. Hey, Em, and welcome back, everyone. Who are we giving a giant shoot-your-shot shout-out to?
To Ione, who bought us 5 coffees and had such a lovely message. She said, "Hello, you wonderful, talented humans. Where do I even start, Sarah and Emma?" That makes me want to like sit down and have a cup of tea with her. She's like, "Where do I begin?" Yeah. And this made me laugh so much. I stumbled, in brackets, literally, I was out running in the dark across your podcast while in... I love that. In your ears, running in the dark. While in a blind panic after being invited for a second interview. I'd really lost my confidence after the previous job I applied for invited me for 6 interviews only to let me down in the last round.
And also, I just want to make it clear to the listeners that she wrote 6. Like, this is her emphasis. That's not Emma's emphasis. And I love the emotion that we're getting from Io.
100%. I'm just as pissed off as you that you had to do 6 interviews.
Yeah.
I was gutted and really disheartened. So when this interview rolled around, I was determined to make the job mine. I just didn't know how. After absolutely binging your podcast, I felt my confidence growing. The storytelling technique was incredible, and I found myself remembering all of my blindingly good best bits. Skip forward to interview day. I listened to the Hype Up episode in the car on the way. I accepted the water. I sat up straight, and yes, my notebook was front and center. Oh. As the interview started, I instantly felt relaxed and that I had everything I needed to weave my stories into my answers. When it came to questions at the end, I remembered to ask one to each member of the panel, including the HR manager. Thanks for that episode, ladies. And 1.5 hours later, they proceeded to tour me.
Oh, my God.
That is insane. Who are these people? They proceeded to tour me around the building and offer me the job on the spot.
Wow.
I'm a sports marketer living in rural Switzerland, so jobs like this don't come around too often. I honestly could not have done it without you, Sarah and Emma. The confidence you gave was incredible, but above all, you helped me feel less alone. Being on the job search is such a lonely and isolating process, but you helped to normalize it, and above all, you made me laugh. I can't thank you enough and have already passed you on to a couple of friends who are already hooked.
Rural Switzerland.
Lovely.
This is incredible. And like sports marketing, like those jobs are already really rare in the whole world. Like this is incredible. You got it on the spot. And I love this message.
You are in the right industry because sports equals stamina, and you had a lot of stamina to sit through a 1.5 hour interview and 6 interviews in the previous, you know, lot of companies.
And also, she's such a talented storyteller because, like, my jaw was open that entire story just following along, like, what's going to happen next?
I love it. Jinx.
If you want results like that, check out our new Interview Academy. That is the very best way for you to prepare for your last minute interview. You can go through it all in a weekend or a couple of hours to do your last minute prep.
Completely self-paced, so you don't have to rely on Sarah, who has limited availability because she works full-time and is based in Australia.
I know, it's not very good for Switzerland time zone. You can find out all about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview-academy, or it'll be linked below.
I love it. Now, today, we're going to be talking about ghosting. Ghosting. Now, Sarah, just to preface this, you're going to have a field day in this episode because you always relate learnings to the dating world. It's your favorite analogy to give. And ghosting is something very prevalent in the dating world. So I can't wait to see. Let's make a drinking game how many times Sarah links it back to dating in this episode.
Maybe don't drink before your job interview. But, you know, if you want to take a shot of coffee or a drink of water or something, next time I say dating, you're going to be like, drink, and only the people that have listened to this episode will understand. So you're in the know if you're listening to this episode right now. I'm going to make you make the comparison. What is ghosting like in the dating world?
Well, I've personally never been ghosted.
Oh! Emma, VIP.
No, I just haven't really dated. That's the problem.
Oh, right. So you haven't had anyone let you down directly either. You've just like not had any experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Maybe that's why you never compare them, because you're like,
Yeah, I'm not traumatized by dating because I just didn't have to do that. So that's nice. But ghosting, real problem, and happens a lot in the job search. Okay, because we always say we don't talk about what it should be like, we talk about what it actually is like. Do you think ghosting happens a lot?
Yes, it does. It really does. It's very, 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 very common. And that is so unfortunate. It shouldn't be that way. Like, I want to make that so clear. It's a failure of the job application process, and it's absolutely not endorsed by me. And here's where I think it's really, really common is when you're applying and you're not hearing back. But that, I think most people, they don't like that, but I think most people understand, or at least they can see how a lot of companies aren't able to reply or they're not able to get back to them or whatever.
I think the assumed like understanding is you can apply online for as many jobs as you want. It's assumed you haven't got any of them unless you get the thing saying, hey, you have an interview. That's the standard.
I hate that too. I think that's not good enough. There's a lot of companies out there, even more these days, that are saying things like, you know, only successful candidates will hear back from us. Look, I hate that too. I think that's gross. But at the very least, they're setting your expectations and they're being clear about what you can expect so that you do know that you can rule it out if you haven't heard. But still, there's no time frame there. Like, I hate it. I aim to get back to every candidate, and I don't want to put a guarantee on that because I'm sure that there's a candidate that I've missed or more that I've missed in my whole career. But I think when we're talking about ghosting in today's episode, we're more talking about when it's gone further than that. It's more like you've had a call, you might have had an interview, and then you hear nothing.
And especially despicable if you've had multiple interviews.
Oh my God, yes.
Or been told even further, like, yeah, you're really our preferred candidate. Like, it's really at the pointy end. That is when it is just so despicable.
The further along it goes, the more irresponsible it is and the more unacceptable it is, essentially.
Yeah, you're playing with people's lives and futures.
Yeah. Now, what I've seen in my research, I always like to see, like, what are people saying online about these things, is people saying, oh, well, if that's how they treat people, then it's a sign that I never want to work there anyway, blah, blah, blah. Like, and I agree to a certain extent. Like, I see why people say that. But I also think that that's kind of like the easy answer to go, oh, well, they're a terrible company and I would never work there because they did this to me. I think that's a stretch. It's kind of, the same thing as dating, where like just because one person ghosted someone once doesn't mean they're a horrible person and nobody should ever date them. Sometimes it just means that they had no idea how to say what they had to say, and they put it off for a few days, and then it felt weird to say anything, and then they stressed about it and they festered, and then they just left it. And that can happen. That absolutely can happen.
Or if it's one person's responsibility within the company, like it was one dude who just got overwhelmed and it didn't get back to you, but you've tarred the whole company.
Yes.
And the awesome department that you could maybe work for, but you've written it off because Dave had a bad day. Like, That's rough.
That's what I want to talk about in this episode, because when it comes to like, what do you do about it? Well, like nothing. Like, you can't do anything about it. They're not getting back to you.
You ghost them back.
Yeah. We've got an episode about following up. Like, by all means, follow up. And I think sometimes you may still need to hear nothing, which is, again, not okay, not a good thing. But what we always say on all of our episodes about this kind of stuff is that you should keep applying, even when you've had an interview, even when it's going well, keep applying. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket too soon. You want to keep multiple options open until you have that contract, until you actually start. Like, keep your options open. So I think that helps here when you haven't heard back from someone. But I thought what would be helpful in this episode is maybe if we talk about some other things that might be going on behind the scenes so that people have an idea of how this could happen, so that they can make an understanding of like, how should they interpret that if it happens to them? If you get ghosted, how should you think about it? First of all, it's definitely not personal.
This is tough to understand.
Out of all of the things that it could be, I just really don't think it's personal. I don't think anyone has done this specifically to you deliberately. I think that is 0.01% chance that that's the case. So please don't take it that way. It doesn't mean anything about you and how you did in the process that they've deliberately decided to not get back to you.
Hey, job hunters. Big news. Our all new course, Interview Academy, is live and ready to transform your interview game. It's all the strategies from Sarah's one-on-one coaching, but without the limited time slots.
Yep. It takes you step by step by step through crafting your career story, coming up with your awesome best bits, and all the practice you need.
And guess what?
It's at a special launch price, never to be seen again. Get more information at interviewboss.com.au/interview-academy. It's linked in the show notes below. What might be going on the other side, behind the scenes in that company, it could be a complete total shit show of a place to work. It could be an absolute basket case of a company. It could be, that's one option. So you might have completely dodged a bullet because they can't even hire someone properly. They can't make decisions. They can't do anything. All over the place. There's this person and somebody left and then somebody was like fired and then that got moved and then they lost your information and then they couldn't find out and then someone interviewed you but the role changed. Like, it could be a total shit show and you could have absolutely dodged a bullet. But that's the easy answer. And I actually don't think that that's the most common. So before you jump to that conclusion, let's hear about some of these other things. Em, what else might be going on?
Maybe you have a recruiter who really doesn't like conflict and just doesn't want to reach out to let you know, like, it didn't work out, or they don't like being the bearer of bad news. Or could it also be like in the sense of them not liking conflict, not just to let you know you haven't got it, but like if there's been some change of like the job's changed, but they don't know how to convey that. So it's not that you haven't got it, but there's some internal thing or budgets and they're just like, they're an avoidant girly. They're oh man, like, not today. I can't do it.
And they see your email and they get a pit in their stomach and they're like, oh, I can't do it. I don't want to tell her.
Their mouth's so excited. Dry. They're sitting by the phone and they're like, come on, press the buttons. And they just can't.
And if you're hearing that and you're like, well, screw you, that's your job. Like, I agree with you. That's why I wanted to start out with that whole thing at the beginning. These are not to excuse this behavior. It's just, I think it is helpful. We get this feedback from people. Like, it is helpful to know how this stuff works. And I'm sure when you hear this, you're like, oh my God, I can imagine how they might feel like that. It's not their fault. They don't want to have to be the bearer of bad news.
At the same time, if your recruiter is overworked and they just have 50 different deadlines, priorities on their desk, and getting back to you to say like, hey, it's not worked out, is unfortunately, bottom of the pile, because even though you might have been quite far along and objectively speaking, it is a priority to get back to you. But compared to everything else, maybe they've just had a death on the construction site. Maybe someone's just
it's
quit.
So dramatic. Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? That could happen. There's 100.
Why would that make the recruiter? Because they have to recruit for the person? That's horrible.
No, I just mean company-wide incident. Like, there's been redundancies. There's been a boss, like lots of people missing. There's crisis management.
They're getting all the applications at once. All the different managers are chasing them for like, where's the candidate? Where's the contract? The successful person, they need to do references for them. There's another one over here. They've got an ad to post. It's very easy for companies to give their recruiters way, way, way too much to do and too many candidates to manage and too many processes. This can happen with agency too. So it doesn't always have to be your internal one. Agency, I'm a bit more critical of them not getting back to people because like their job is to keep a relationship with you in case they can place you again. Like they actually could benefit from placing you again. So that one's harder for me to rationalize. But internally, when you're trying to get back to everyone, their priority above everything else will be getting back to the successful person and trying to get them through the process. And so if they've got like hundreds of unread emails and your one chasing up is in there somewhere, I don't know, it might be completely unintentional.
You could also be the backup candidate. We have a whole episode about this. Go and listen to that if you need a refresher. But they don't want to reject you until the preferred candidate accepts the role, and that can drag things out a couple of weeks. So they kind of want you hanging there, and then potentially once they've formally offered it to the person and they're busy doing all of that, it might, you know, take a while or they might forget about it.
Totally. And this happens in my world a lot.
This has happened to me many times. I'm always the backup candidate, and I'm a backup candidate success story. I've been called up from being the backup candidate, and I'm here for it.
And if you haven't listened to the backup candidate episode and you're here going, oh, I hate being the backup candidate, well, then go and listen to that episode because it is not the bad thing that you think it might be. I want you to reframe that.
Yes.
You need to check out the episode.
All I'm going to say is second mouse gets the cheese. That's all I'm going to say about that.
It's the perfect saying.
Quotes to live by.
Yeah.
My partner says that to me constantly.
Second mouse gets the cheese. Mm-hmm. Is that how he says it? Does he say it with like a little...
Yeah, little funny voice.
Cheese. Yeah. Love it. Yes, that is absolutely true. Now, the other thing, I didn't actually have this written down, but they may not have systems that allow them to get back to people in an easy kind of a way. I know that sounds like a stupid excuse, but if you don't have an applicant tracking system, it's just a fancy spreadsheet. It just keeps track of everyone. It helps you organize your candidates. Lots of companies don't have them, or they do have them, but they're a terrible one and they can't do things properly. If they're trying to work out of an email inbox to manage hundreds of candidates, they can't even find you again to get back to you. Like, that's just...
Do you know how stressed I get once a fortnight when I'm trying to find something specific in my emails? And when you have an email chain with someone with like multiple emails, why does the attachment disappear from where it was initially sent? Like, if that was me trying to go back through...
If anyone is out there who's worked in a workplace that uses Google and like Gmail for all of their emails and stuff, and then you go to a workplace that uses Outlook, I will never, ever get used to the fact that when you search for an email and you're like, oh, hi, Outlook, I'd just like to find an email from Emma. Her name is Emma. And it's like, I've never met an Emma. You've never, ever received an email from someone named Emma. And you're like, oh, but it was yesterday. I remember. And I've even got two exact words that were in the subject title of the email. And Outlook's like, actually, you've never sent any emails ever. I can't find anything.
Gaslighting you.
Would you like all the emails with the word the in them? And I'm like, come on, Outlook.
Well, lately, it's been telling me you can't send any emails because your storage is full. I'm like, really? So I've now begun paying for storage because it was in a crisis moment. They knew I had to send the email. They knew I was going to pay the $3 because what option do I have? I was locked out and I needed to reply.
Is this your work email?
No, personal, but I'm just...
You have a personal Outlook?
Yes.
Ew.
It's because everything's in there. It's from years ago. So I can just search up like the most random stuff from years ago and it's in there. It's like my little memory chest.
But see, on Google, like on Gmail, when a company that I've worked for uses that, you go, Oh, I can't remember her name, but I think it started with an E and I think it had the word options in the email somewhere. Google's like, here it is.
Yeah. I got it. Good job, Google.
Don't worry. Here it is. Like, oh. Just
this episode is not sponsored by Google. We're getting sidetracked. But yes, so if there's not good systems in place and we're relying on Sandra to manually go back and keep track, human error could be at play here.
Mm-hmm. That's tough. Right. Or without systems, like it's very difficult to bulk email people if you don't have a system.
Because Schmick workplaces, is there a button that you could just press that sends an automated email that's like, hi, insert name. Sorry, you've been unsuccessful.
Yes. I mean, it's a bit more than that. You have to like select everyone sometimes tick by tick. And sometimes you do a multiple and you don't want to do a multiple select. You want to quickly check if there's anyone in there that you don't want to reject first. But yeah, you do. You multiple select, drop down this email, send, and it automatically sends it all off. And people should be doing it. Again, no excuses for sending an email. Calling, I think that's where people struggle. And that's why sometimes I don't have time to make calls. It's like 5:25 p.m. and I'm rushing out the door. I've got somewhere to be. And I don't have time to call 4 people and tell them why they were unsuccessful. And I actually write out the email, but then I personalize each one. Hey, your feedback was this area. Your feedback was this area. Call me if you'd like more detailed information. And that's very handy because then some people do call back for more feedback. Great, I'll chat to you about it. If they don't, then great, it's all good. I've at least informed you. So I think that's what holds people back. They want to make a call. They don't have time for that. They forget about it and then they don't do an email and it's like, just send the email.
Phone call anxiety. I don't know anybody that likes making phone calls. Like, I hate it.
I know. Anyway, our very last one. It can be really, really hard sometimes for a recruiter to get an answer from the actual decision makers. So sometimes, again, like the one where they're a bit overworked or something there, they could be in the right here. They're like, guys, we haven't gotten back to this person. It's been 2 weeks now. We interviewed them 2 weeks ago. It's been longer. What are we doing about their thing? Are we going to hire this person? Oh, I don't know. We're not sure. We're just waiting to hear back from, you know, so-and-so's friend who said that they might be interested. And can you just like keep them warm? Oh, we're not sure yet. And they're trying really hard to get an answer from you or for you, or like what's going on, or the role's on hold, it's not on hold. They don't want to give you information when they don't have any. And they're trying to chase, and it's actually somebody internal that's holding it up and they can't get a straight answer. It can also be like a series of things like that combined together of the backup candidate, plus they can't get an answer, plus they whatever. And it's like, you interviewed your first person 2 weeks ago, but you've just met another new candidate and they've got to have 2 rounds of interviews and suddenly it's been 4 weeks. So that's all the stuff that could be going on. And I hope that if you're in this situation right now, right this very second, we are sending you a virtual hug. You didn't deserve it.
No.
You did not deserve to get ghosted.
We wish this wasn't a reality.
Yeah.
But hopefully this provides some context as to what might be going on. And there's nothing you can do. Ghost them back. If you've followed up already, what episode did we say this in recently? Listen to this when you're waiting to hear back. Go and listen to that. We tell you in that episode to pick a mental date at the time that you're going to get this company out of your head. If you've been obsessing about it for 2 weeks now, thinking, surely they'll get back to me soon, pick a date. And by then, we're not letting it take up any more space.
We're mentally crossing it off the list. Yep. Including because saying in your mind that they're a horrible company and you never would have worked there anyway, and how dare they treat you like this, that's counted as taking up mental energy. We're not allowed to do that because being overly angry about it is also taking up your mental energy, and holding a grudge is not going to fix anything. It's going to make you feel worse. And we don't want that for you. So get back on the horse. We're here to help. You got this.
Hang in there.
Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, hit that follow button in Apple or Spotify, or better yet, shoot the show to someone else. That's how we hit the charts and we can help even more people. For more advice, inspiration, and a supportive community, chuck us a follow on Instagram. We could use the help.
We've been your job search besties and helped you in some way. There's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
We get a huge kick out of reading all of your success stories. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss and shout us a cuppa.
If you keep us caffeinated, we can keep the content coming.